Yeah, so Second Summons is going to get like 500 followers and like a 3-star rating, or it's gonna explode, right? Like there is nothing in between with this book. It is a classic storyline, a class gets isekai'd into another world, and they have to kill the demon lord. Like it couldn't get more cliche than that. But like, can I create gruesomely realistic characters? And like, what would happen if I just like turn it into this drama hellscape of progression elements, but just in the most ruthless, awful way possible?
This is the Crit RPG Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything lit RPG, progression fantasy, and Royal Road.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Crit RPG Podcast, the only podcast where we flame and go. With me today is Neon Dreams, author of Second Summons. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. Most people
Yeah.
do until I make the 14th pun and then they want to shoot me.
I mean, they're always welcome.
No, they're not. Like, I want to be shot. No.
No,
I don't think we should do
no,
that.
not good. No, I'm saying the puns are welcome in
Oh,
my
okay,
book.
good. Well, obviously,
Yeah.
yes. Quite, quite.
Not getting shy. Yeah, I
Okay,
think
yeah.
that's irrational.
Yeah, no. So, we have been talking a lot before the podcast, this podcast started, that we can all find all of that stuff on Patreon. Again, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. But mostly, I am just going to get right into it. Why don't you tell us about Second Summons and what it's about? And then we can talk about why and how and where the story.
Yeah, so Second Summons is like this weird, this is going to get like 500 followers and like a 3-star rating, or it's gonna explode, right? Like there is nothing in between with this book. It is a classic storyline. A class gets isekai'd into another world, and they have to kill the demon lord. Like it couldn't get more cliche than that. But it started with this weird thing, like, can I create gruesomely realistic characters in this very unrealistic kind of world? And like, what would happen if I did that, just like turn it into this drama hellscape of like progression elements, but just in the most ruthless, awful way possible? And like, what is going to happen? You get a lot of these characters when you get like an SK like this, where they just walk around and they get into the world that they're like, I guess I have to kill things. I came from my corporate job, right? And I'm like in this peaceful world, but I guess I'm a demon now and I have a tail. I'm going to go around, I'm going to slaughter my way to victory. Like, I guess I'm okay with that, you know? And I wanted to create this story where like people are like, what the fuck is going on? You know, like, how is this happening? And then like, you know, you get like these like self-insert characters, which are really fun, really good. You know, like you could follow these characters for 1,000 chapters and you just smile. You're like, this person's winning. And then, you know, there's this character, Sarah Rees, who is, she has realistic PTSD. She like went through a period of like alcoholism and she met her fiance by puking on his shoes in like this bender. Like, this is as different as possible. And I'm like, what's gonna happen? You know, like, can I create more of this traditional compelling story with this really cliche plot line? And Second Summons, that's kind of how it came to be.
Nice. Well, yeah, it's masterfully executed, right? Yeah, because this podcast is mostly about you, but I kind of want to relate to that a little bit and say like you succeed at many of the things that I tried to do as kind of like a first experiment. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you gotta try at least. Otherwise, you're never going to do it, you know? So,
I mean, yeah, we spoke about the podcast before the podcast that you have, like, written a lot before this. Not necessarily anywhere that people can, you know, find it. But it's, yeah, you've written like 1 million words, 1 million point five words, something like that.
1.5 million words, probably like 8-9 stories. I've just done a lot of writing. The first time I wrote a novel, it was so terrible my mom wouldn't read it. Like, she wouldn't, like, you know, it's bad when your mom isn't, like, my mom's a sweetheart. I love my mom. She is extremely supportive. She's the only person that's like, oh, you want to give up your career and, like, sit at home and write novels, like, just trash novels? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I support you, but if you want me to read this, I'm not. And so, like, but I wrote this novel. I'll explain this novel because it is so bad that it is a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Okay. Like, so there's the story. What is that? The Usual Suspects, right? You have like Kevin Spacey, you got the detectives, and he's at the table and they're like, well, what happened? All this bad stuff happened, like, start from the beginning. Well, I did that, but there was like 20 chapters with them just talking at a table, with like every three chapters like going into the main story with a little bit of action. And it was just like this weird psychological like thriller with omniscient, like, both of them, their thoughts are getting thrown around in every single line.
You made a lot of very bold choices in your novel.
Very bold choices. And this is why you shouldn't just start. You should just start. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and I loved it. I thought it was a masterpiece.
Obviously,
you just mention this.
Every book I write is a masterpiece, and everyone who doesn't agree is another piece.
Yeah, exactly. Like this, like, you're not funny. You know, you don't laugh at my joke, you're not funny.
No appreciation for the arts. yeah, okay. But going back, I mean, obviously, you reestablish your mom isn't funny. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was one of those things, but like, it's funny. I think there's this weird thing where you're like, this is exhausting me because I read it, you know, like, I'm editing, I'm just exhausted, but people are going to love it. You know, like, when I'm sighing, when I'm writing, people are going to love it. I'm tired.
Oh, no.
Right?
Oh, no. Voiceover. In the end, it turned out that was not what was happening.
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly. And I remember, like, I have to send this to my mom. It was like this grim, dark story.
Yeah.
It's just like totally terrible. And I was just like, I don't want to send this to my mom. I don't want to do that. That's a bad sign. Like, if you don't want to send something to your mom, that is a terrible sign.
Yeah.
That's not like you writing smut and then, like, you don't want to send it to your mom, because I don't know about you, but my mom read smut, all right?
Okay,
like,
my
vampire steam. Oh.
That's a question. Like, my mom reads, like, I think it's more highbrow historical fiction, but I think there's still like sex in there, so I'm not quite sure. But you go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. She doesn't read smut. All right. Like, smut is a really weird book. But I just remember, like, I was writing something once, and I was just like, Mom, like, this is really awkward to say, but, like, I'm writing sex scenes. Like, do you have any inspirations? Because she is, like, an avid reader. Like, you know, she read, like, 100 books a year for, like, 7 years straight when I was growing up.
Okay, great.
So, like, yeah, so she reads a lot, and she just was like, come to my office. And I was just like, oh no. I was like visiting my mom. I was just like, oh no, this is gonna end well. And she just like starts pulling out this stack of books, and they're just like vampire novels. Yay. And then like thriller. And she's like, oh, this one gets steamy. And I was just like, okay, I can send you my work. It's gonna be fine. Yeah. It's fine. It's just fine.
Oh my god. And then at some point, I think it's good that my mom's English is so terrible. Like she's German, obviously. I'm German. And both my mom and my dad have said that like I can't read this, it's in English. With my mom I believe it. With my dad, I think it's an excuse. But like his accent is very thick. Like, I'm sorry, I cannot read this. I'm like, sure, Dad. No. Like, I'm quite sure it's actually true. And I haven't actually given him Torchbearer yet, but I have given him the perfect run. And he said, like, yeah, this is not really for me. I'm like, okay. Like, as we said before, some people just don't have any culture.
Yeah, some people just don't have culture. Yeah. That is a really good book, by the way. I think that's the only web novel I've read to completion.
It is extraordinarily good, yeah. The audiobook was also super great. So, we're getting off of track. You were saying, for sure. Your mom, smut scenes, writing books, your mom not reading the first book. I think that's where we strayed, yeah.
I think like it came down to like if you're not willing to send something to your mom, you shouldn't like write it because your mom is the person that's supposed to love it no matter what. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, that's nice. That's nice, honey. That's nice. Like if you won't send it to the that's nice person, like you're not ready to send it online, because as soon as you post something online, people are going to be very honest. Yeah. You know what I mean? They will tell you quite bluntly what they think. And you know, like if you won't let your mom read it, you're just like, you know, like how about my self-confidence? Like, let's just bundle it together, put some string around it, you know, dip it in some like clay, and then just throw it to the piranhas, you know, like.
Oh man. Okay, but so you wrote all those books that your mom wouldn't read, and then at some point you changed.
Yeah, I mean, like you change. Like, I've probably deleted everything I've ever written. Like, you know, I'll write something, I'll publish it, I'll go through some things, and then I just, like, delete it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm moving up. Like, I'm improving. Like, I don't want to look at this. Like, it just kind of fills you with this sense of, like, pride that you've moved up. There's a sense of pride that, like, you've written some stuff and you've improved. Mm. But I just don't.
Yeah, I don't think I will ever delete my old stuff. Because you said like, hey, you put it out, and people are gonna tell you what they think, and that's very true. There's people who love the original Torchbearer, like the version 0.1, the first one that I put out, right? And I deleted it because it was spoilers for the second version, but yeah, I think some people will hate it, sure. But, I mean, there's like 1,000 people who love it, which is nice.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, like, it's personal, right? Yeah, like, you know, like, some people, you know, different strokes, different folks, you know what I mean? Like, there's some people that love that. They're like, look how far I've come. I just like sit there and I'm like, please don't read that. Please don't read that. Please just do not like, you know, go for it or anything like that. So I delete it because I think, but I don't think that Second Summons is like the first book where I'm like proud of it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, wow, like I'm actually like going to be like an author that like I, So here's the thing. This is how I got into writing. I was just got really depressed at my job one day, and I just I was reading some like light novels, was watching some anime, and like started like picking up so I could just continue the story, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember going onto this site. This was back before I knew about Royal Road or web novel or any of this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like I didn't know web novels existed. Mm-hmm. I ended up on this site where like every tag said harem. Every single one of them. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I didn't even know that this was like a genre, you know? Like, yeah. It was just like, what kind of like crazy, you know? And then you get the other tags. It's mm-hmm. just like violent MC. Like, I'm like, what is like Conan walking around collecting women like Pokemon? Like, what is going on?
Oh my God, that is such a good premise.
I'm just like, what is this? And you know, like they have these like really edgy covers, and I was just like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm going to just read one of these because I have nothing. I have literally nothing to do right now. Mm-hmm. And so I read Cultivation Online, which is on web novel. And I ended up like getting on web novel. I don't know how I ended up doing it, but I read for like 12 hours straight. And I just rolled my eyes the entire time and just kept hitting the smashing the next button.
And then at chapter 871, you were like, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was just like, what just happened? Like, I just like broke out of this trance, and I just remember smiling a lot. And this is the end all be all destroy your life moment where you were just like, this book is total trash. I can write better than this.
Harsh.
It's going to be super easy. Yeah, you know, but like, so there's these.
But these, you, okay. I have to point this out. Before the podcast, like before the main podcast started, you said like, I don't understand people who read 870 like chapters of Hero Fights with Monsters and then write like, then give a 0.5 star rating. But you are that person.
No. Okay. Okay. Let's take a step back here. Okay. I am a person that to this day loves that novel.
Okay, good.
I love that novel. In fact, I would give it a 5-star just for making me so happy. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's, like, okay, that's awesome.
I love the novel. Mm-hmm. It has broken prose with the craziest word choices, zero characterization, mm-hmm. like this. It's just this hellscape, but it makes you feel so good and you get immersed in it. Like, it just drives your soul, even though, like, oh, and man. So I'm like, I read trash novels. They make me feel good. I'm like, I'm going to write a trash novel. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And, but then you're like, but I'm an artiste. I'm not going to write trash.
Oh, no.
Right? Like, I'm going to do this better. And that starts the journey of pain. Yeah. All right? Just total pain. Where, like, you...
Shout outs to Ostensible Mammal, Death March. Mm-hmm. Sure. It's a different origin story, but it's same similar.
Yeah, you know, like, you just get into this stuff. So, I mean, it's good. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. good. It's... But it is funny how you do that.
Cool. Yeah. No, totally. It's definitely a thing. Yeah. I found that there's two types of writers. And there's the one kind that goes like, I have a story in my head that I need to write. And then there's the other kind that just writes out of spite.
That is true. That is absolutely true.
One kind goes like, I have to invite readers into this beautiful world that I've created. And the other one's like, this is shit. I gotta do better than this. How dare he poison my mind with this trash? And then you sit down and start writing and you're like, fuck, this is actually hard. What the fuck was I thinking?
Yeah, right. Oh my God, it's the hardest thing in your world. I met this guy. Actually, I've met two of them now that are just, I laughed so hard because this one person, he like got like traumatized from like comments on like writing on one of these sites.
Yeah.
And it's just, and so he started writing for absolute spite. He's like, yeah. I know what? No way. Like, you're going to keep reading my story despite destroying my confidence. I'm going to take everything you hate and just miserably go after it. Just absolutely destroy you. I'm going to ruin. And he's like, dude, the arcs were great.
This is such a like, it's the second thing. I mean, I've interviewed over 40 authors, but at this point, right? The second point is every good author had a point where they said, fuck it.
Yeah.
Every good author had a point where they said, what? Fuck it. And then, you know, like what you described is almost this like darkest dungeon, Urizulfus tested moment, right? Where the camera zooms in and the stress level maxes out. And the character goes like, oh God. And then it's like, it's like confidence. And you can almost hear Wayne June in the background going like, confidence surges as the enemy crumbles. Like, it is so good.
True.
Oh, man. But, yeah. Okay, so, sorry. We were getting off track again. We need to get to the next part of the podcast, and I think it's a good segue. So you mentioned that this story, right? So Second Summons is actually way, way good. Like the one you like the best so far, obviously, because it's the latest novel. Everyone loves the latest novel. But at the same time, and 5,300 people love it on Royal Road. You've got a huge Patreon going already that updates, I think, like 5 times a week, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, go check out his Patreon. It updates faster than the Royal Road. So there you go.
Hey.
What was some advice that got you there? What two questions? Like, what do you think made it explode so hard? And the other one is, what was the advice that got you there? So, what's the best advice you've ever gotten as a writer?
Yeah. So, this is kind of what happened. I was writing comedy, wish fulfillment, all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I faced a lot of frustration where I wanted to write like these dynamic characters when I was writing a story that didn't support it. You know what I mean? Like you're writing this really like, you know, trash story and you want someone to be profound. And, like that is just it's not how that works. You know?
I don't know what you're talking about. This is totally not what I did.
Yeah. You know, so it's one of those things. There's two types of stories, right? There's stories that keep going and you immerse characters in a series of events that makes them feel good. They're building up. That is lit RPG as a genre. You know, you watch the numbers go up, you put them into a situation and watch the growth. And then there's compelling narratives and you can't really half-ass it. There's like nothing in between. I just remember being like, why do people it was just this really elusive question for like a long time where people don't like controversial things. They don't like these weird viewpoints. But then you have like Stephen King that just writes the most gruesome things and like people are just love it. And so I was just like, I'm going to read some Stephen King. I just want to know, you know, like how does this work? And then I just started reading a lot of traditional fiction. I realized that what makes it work is that it's very unfiltered and it's very raw. And so when you see these dark moments, you forgive characters. That was the epiphany in writing, is like the more realistic a character is, the more people forgive them for being a human. You know what I mean? And not being cold and calculating and so on and so forth.
I think you also something there. There's this book I quote a lot at the moment by Matt Bird called The Secrets of Story or something. And you wrote the second one, Secret of Characters. And what you describe, I think, resonates with him saying you have to make your characters sympathetic, right? So not necessarily nice or good even, but sympathetic. Like people need to know that this character is human. And I think this kind of goes with what you said.
Yeah, absolutely. Like as long as you write this character that just feels like me or you, you know what I mean? Not like some power god that is going to take over the world with a sword strike that can kill like 1,000 people.
That doesn't feel like you.
That's how I see myself. You know what I mean? But it's how I see myself. But that's not how it is. In my mind, I'm a cool, rational person, and then I flip out when I'm reading novels. You know what I mean? That's me.
maybe that's a secret. Like, in my mind, I am not a rational person. I am very, very hounded by all my emotions, which is why I write very introspective bullshit that some people love and some people hate.
I mean, you know, and so it's just true. Mm-hmm. And then I read On Writing. So you were talking about the best advice. On Writing, the best advice is when Stephen King says, throw characters into a situation and then tell the truth.
Mm.
That is it. That is what took my writing from where it is to Second Summons.
Mm.
Because I told the gruesome truth, you know what I mean? Mm. Like the main character is shoveling pads into a bag, just like Tampax, into like a backpack in the first scene of this novel. Mm. And that's the truth.
Mm.
That is like what would happen. I'm like, this is not going to resonate with readers. I'm going to lose a lot of people just from this scene. That's just so candid. But it seems to work, I guess.
Which is awesome, because I think there's more to it than just that, right? Because if you write, for example, like complex PTSD, that's not very appealing because it goes in loops, right? I mean, the best example again is Torchbearer, the last version of Torchbearer, that's still online right now, I think. By the time I've been releasing this, I've got to have the new version up, so never mind. But the old version very much had the main character get overwhelmed. And then she felt powerless. And then in her powerlessness, she grabbed her rage. And with her rage, then she, you know, did stupid shit. Because when you're angry, you don't make the best decisions. And then she felt guilty, which made her feel powerless. And it's an entire loop that always goes on. Like if you have PTSD or post-traumatic, bitterness disorder, that's how it goes. But it's not appealing to readers. So there's more to it than what you're saying. And
absolutely. Well, so here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. Like anything is appealing as long as you present it in gruesome detail and make it compelling.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's more importantly, like more important than what it is. You're following a character's lives, like watching this person kind of devolve into chaos.
Mm.
And as a writer, it's really easy to be like, I'm going to cut that out. People aren't going to like that. I'm going to cut that out. But it's like when easy. You want, no, when, yeah, but like when the moment that you like cut it out, the moment that you're like, I'm not going to say he has an erection, right? Like as soon as you do that, right? Because it's not going to be popular.
Mm.
Then that is where you lose the compelling elements, because people get drawn into people that are real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like truly real, these gruesome POVs from villains, right? Mm. They're great when you're, I don't know how to explain this, but if you just go into like really gruesome details, then it's going to be fine. I think that all comes down to like this scene in It, where it's like Beverly Marsh against the antagonist Tom, and Tom is a wife abuser, and he is really bad. Like this dude is the absolute worst. And when you're reading this scene, what's so compelling is when you're reading about Beverly, she kind of likes it. And that is terrible. That's like not something that is strange, but that's what makes it compelling. You've got this realistic character who not only is stuck in this bad situation, I think, where people think that people in bad situations stay, but she is in a situation that isn't just bad, but there are periods of it that she really likes. And that is, that's what makes it compelling. That's the stuff that you're going to want to cut out with you as the reader. You just want to paint Tom as this absolutely terrible person. But what's compelling about it is that people are reacting in these really strange and human ways that feel real. And so if you're going to write a character like this, you got to throw it all out the window and just go 100% ham on it. You can't cut things out. You either do a self-insert or you make things miserable, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't.
I don't know, like, I think there's some more bits there about agency. So you can have a character who's like only passive and never does anything and has no agency and no, like, isn't involved in the story at all, or doesn't want to be a driving force. That's just, if they're not a driving force in the story is not about them. And that's not an issue about the character, with the character. That's an issue with, point of view, right? So I just googled this when you were saying this, like these realistic scenes, right? So Marriage Story with Adam Driver and Adam Driver and I think it's Scarlett Johansson, and they have the scene where it starts like super, super inane. Like, okay, cool. We're getting divorced. Like, you're so much like your mom. And then in like 5 minutes of brilliant acting, it goes from, oh, you're so much like your mom, to, I wish you get hit by a car and die. And at that point, it's not an easy movie to watch. Like, really not easy. And then at that point, Adam Driver, you know, this like 2 meters tall dude, who was like visibly almost ready to get violent, like really, really easy. He just falls to his knees and realizes what he just said and how far he got from, you know, loving this person to just wishing she would die because it hurts so much. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is no internal dialogue. There's nothing that explains what's happening, but you can see it in the acting. That's great. But from a story perspective, man, I wish I could write characters like that, right? Where it is so relatable because you know what's happening while at the same time not being like beaten with a stick. That like, oh yeah, I feel emotions now. Like this is really good.
Yeah, exactly. And that all just comes down to like, would you read a character on Royal Road that told his wife that he wished she got hit by a car? And you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, like, yeah,
that is the fear.
That's the question, right? So, I think there's a certain degree of making your main character likable and relatable. I have a friend who hopefully is going to release her story soon, and that main character is completely depressed, and it starts out with the main character buying some ice cream, and she's so depressed she didn't know it was like 2 in the afternoon, not 2 a.m. at night, and so she went out in like her pajamas and fuzzy slippers and like no makeup or whatever and wanted to buy some ice cream, and people in the store are staring at her, right? And then a system apocalypse hits, of course, and that's a pretty cool character, right? Because you kind of want to see like, why is this lady in this store like this? What happened? And that's again, relatable character with agency. Cool. She only wants to buy ice cream, but she wants something, right? And of course, after that, she wants to survive in this weird, crazy world. But yeah.
Well, I mean, but that's what it comes down to. That's exciting. Like characters that are like just out of the world. Out of your life, crazy that are just gruesomely realistic are fascinating if you just like allow them to actually live. You know, people are afraid of depression, they're afraid of OCD, they're afraid of schizophrenia, but like if you watch Arcane, I mean, like the character has schizophrenia and she's the best like the best character in the world. So like that's what makes characters compelling, if you just let real people live, you know.
One second, are you clicking something next to the microphone?
No.
Okay, good. Because it was like it's a clicking noise. So anyway,
click.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, something like that. I don't know. But yeah, it was good. Anyway, like I completely agree with you with what you're saying, right? I just still think that for Royal Road, as I said before, people are coming there to be entertained. And I think stories like yours are one in a million because you hit that right threshold between the power fantasy and the, oh, I will get over this and this is powerful and I can punch people in the face, while at the same time also have like realistic characters behind it. And I still struggle to think how that's sustainable for a serial that goes on for 10 books. But do you have plans how long the story is going to be?
Yeah, it's a two-part series. Mm-hmm. So like it is not sustainable. A story like this is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. You are absolutely right. If you are going to write something for 10 books straight, you can't have like a character development journey. Mm-hmm. Like characters shouldn't develop that much if you're going to write that much. Mm-hmm. So no, this is a very I wouldn't say it's short. Like it's not a short like series, depending on like which book is your basis. But this isn't going to be like a 7-book series or anything like that. Nope. I don't think I could even do that. I think I'm going to just write 1500 words tops for all of my stories from now on. Mm-hmm. Like
1500 words?
No, 1500 pages.
Oh, 1500 pages. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, 1500 pages, like trilogies.
Oh yeah,
like,
that makes sense. Yeah, actually, yeah, that makes sense. 500 pages per book. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, cool. I mean, that's again, like, that goes back to how do you plan to publish and all that kind of stuff, right? I kind of want to talk, like, ask you about your process, but we can do this in the Patreon content. Like, how do you write and when do you edit? Do you edit at all and that kind of stuff? Or do you plan to edit when it's done? But we can do that in the Patreon content because we kind of need to get through the rest of the podcast in the next 15 minutes. All right.
Oh, nice.
So we need to get on to the next question.
Sure.
You know what time it is? That's right. It's a new ad. And this time I have two amazing stories for you to check out. First one is my friend Saving Throw, who writes a story called So When Am I a Hero? It's a system apocalypse that is quite frankly amazing. I don't like system apocalypses usually, and I devoured that one. So go and check it out. There's a link below the podcast. The second one is from another friend of mine, because I have two friends, called The Infinity Dungeon by Reject Humanity. Premise is actually pretty cool. A guy goes hiking on the Appalachian trails and stumbles into the only and first dungeon in the world, and he's the only person on Earth with a system, at least for a while. All right, go check him out. I appreciate it a lot, and I'll see you next time. Is there anything you would change in your next story, or is there anything that you learned while writing that you definitely want to like do again always?
So this is kind of the fascinating thing that I learned from Second Summons is the book is more of a compelling drama, but it still has progression elements. Mm-hmm. And I think that Royal Road is a progression fantasy site. Mm-hmm. Everything from time loop, you know, down to weak to strong stories, like RPG forces that progression fantasy where somebody starts and they grow and develop, get more powerful in some way, or in the case of something like the you know, perfect run, mm-hmm. you are getting knowledge. So you're not mm-hmm. necessarily getting stronger, but you are getting a lot more information to be able to do things better on the second thing. So mm-hmm. it's like this progression fantasy site, and people love progression fantasy. Mm-hmm. Now with something like Royal Road, Second Summons, the only thing that people, there's only two things people care about: the fact that people are like kind of disturbed in the head, and the fact that the wish fulfillment element, like it's designed as like this wish fulfillment book, and people are like stoked when it's not like wish fulfillment. I'm like, you're reading a, you know, back in time novel about going to another world with a second chance and fighting the demon lord, right? Like, this is a wish fulfillment setup, you know, and like people are complaining about the wish fulfillment elements, but I think that when it comes, they are like, that is the number one complaint I get, is wish fulfillment elements, and like the wish fulfillment sections of the books or tropes that come up are the largest drop offs in the novel.
Interesting.
It is. And, you know, and so what it comes down to is people love progression fantasy. Mm-hmm. So like that is the tie-in. The tie-in is people don't love wish fulfillment. They like the, they like a wish fulfillment setup, you know, like a progression fantasy setup, but they don't necessarily like wish fulfillment. What they want is something that's progressive and a fantasy novel that they can immerse themselves in, but that's it.
Okay.
That is where it ends, you know? And so people love the dynamicism of the characters and, you know, these plots and points and stuff like that. And so like the writing is just, I mean, it just follows the rules, you know, but it's a power fantasy to its core. So it's like kind of the best of both worlds, but they don't, there was like one face slap scene, and I swear I lost like three thousand readers, like on the spot. And I was just sitting here like, come on, guys. Like, it's just one scene. But like, people were like freaked out. It's like, oh no, this is going to be a wish fulfillment novel, like mad drop. And I was just like, oh man.
This is so interesting.
And so, but it comes down to the style of novel, right? So this is, it is more dramatic and it's compelling. So, it's playing by different rules.
I think it's about the promise that you made at the beginning.
Exactly. And the way that the characters are presented, how, you know, realistic things are and following this journey. So it's not playing by the same rules. Like, don't try to do what I did unless you're like willing to go all in with the character focus drama elements of the story.
Yeah. So it's like dancing at both parties at once, or dancing at two weddings. I still think it, so I don't think it's the wish fulfillment necessarily, right? So it's not even that it's the wish fulfillment in your story, but I think that people really like the tension that you're doing. And then they are scared that this tension will go away and the characters will suddenly be OP. Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, that's it. Absolutely. I mean, it's still storytelling at the end of the day, right? Like, you create like high crank tension. You just crank up the stakes. So, I mean, like, that's what they like.
I think like what you're doing there is like super compelling too, because, so I don't know how much you're going to go into it in the future. You know, but I think it's very compelling to have the idea of these flawed characters and what will they do when they get even more powerful, right? So it kind of is like Lex Luthor is just a dude who hates Superman, but suddenly he has like a massive wealth. Like, what happens now, right?
Well, and yeah, and that's like the biggest tension in the story is Sarah has all of these great intentions of being a housewife, all right? Like, so this is like the hero of a story that is kind of brutal character, and she has this grand fantasy of working at a tavern and, you know, like baking up a child. Like, in her head, that is what she's going through, but is that going to happen when she becomes a nuclear weapon? And that is exactly what you said with like Lex Luthor, right? Like, what is going to happen once you actually get there? And so that is what people are compelled by. That and the thriller elements. It's a drama thriller is the actual whatever. So
Yeah, I think it's very important to often like to repeatedly highlight these kind of like these dreams, these almost like totems of if I only have a child and I will have a normal life and I will fulfill this deep need that I have, right? Repeating that regularly, I think is a very good point. And also, yeah, what happens if they don't? Right, what happens when they're as you know, David Corbett says, I'm not gonna stop pushing this book. It's a really good book, The Art of Character by David Corbett. And he says, like, what happens when that character's desires are frustrated, right? And by foreshadowing that they don't really handle like getting their desires frustrated really well, and then making sure that we're heading towards like this big moment of like the ultimate rejection or the ultimate crash of her dreams, that's interesting. So I'm going to see how that turns out.
Yeah. I mean, that's stakes, right? It's like
stakes, yeah.
you can turn anything into stakes, like making eggs in the morning. Mm. You could turn that into the most high stakes thing in the world. Where you're like, I need these eggs or I'm going to have an absolute breakdown. My marriage is like going under and my life is absolutely destroyed. I just lost my job and the only thing I want is these eggs. And if I don't make these eggs in the next 30 minutes, I'm going to call up my ex. I'm going to file for a divorce. I am going to call up my job. I'm going to call in and tell them that I quit. All right. And so like you can take anything and make it the most like devastating nuclear option in the world if you want to do that. And so that's part of storytelling, right? Mm. Like how you can take something simple and make it happen. And I don't know.
Yeah. And again, like stories are about what happens when characters don't get their way.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. I love it. Like it's a very, very good point that you're making. Yeah. Like I love how that like it really makes me think. So I'm interjecting a lot of my own ideas here, but in the end, it's a very good statement. It's a very good point.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. We are rushing through this. So we had best advice you've ever gotten. We have had, one thing you would go back to and change. But what's one book that you love and why is it awesome?
There's a lot of books that I like. I mean, I already mentioned Cultivation Online because it makes me extraordinarily happy. You know what I mean? And like, I always mention it to people and they read it. They're like, dude, what do you like about this? This is like as opposite from what you write as possible. Like, what is even going on here? But the guy was making like $30,000 a month on web novel, which is a Christmas miracle wrapped in a mystery.
Wait. Web novel made $30,000 a month. Well, how much did he make?
No. He made $30,000 a month. He was probably raking in $100,000 a month minimum from his writing. I mean, like,
Jesus,
because it makes you feel really good. Yeah. That's the thing that's crazy. Like, it just makes you feel ridiculously good to read it. Yeah, there's that. The other book is The Stand by Stephen King. I said that I read some Stephen King to just try to figure it out. And I learned more reading that. I read that book in 4 days and it was like, you know, the Starbelly Sneetches were like by Dr. Seuss. Mm-mm. It's this guy shows up with a machine and Sneetches pay for him to put stars on their bellies. And it's just like, put you through the machine and you come out with a star and then they think they're superior and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But you know, it just changes their entire life. I read that book and I came out 2 to 3 times better at writing. just by rating it, because it has so many tools in the arsenal, and you learn to do so many things. It's it's obviously just Stephen King showing off 24/7. Like, let me show you all of my writing tools. Let me show you how great I am.
So you're saying he's making a stand?
Yeah.
Understandable.
So I recommend that.
Okay, I'm gonna stop.
I don't understand.
Yeah, so I can't stand it anymore. Let's get...
You're getting all your puns in at the end.
No, let's
you promised me 14, so you better get going.
Get going? Go king? Yeah. That doesn't work, no.
No.
All right. No, yeah, so you were saying Stephen King makes it better, puts a star in your belly.
It does. It churns you through and it changes your life. Mm-hmm. You read the book and you literally come out 2 to 3 times better at writing.
Yeah, my dad has that somewhere, like standing around. That wasn't even intentional, but I'm going to take it.
No, it's good. I would recommend it anyways. So those are my two books.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. Well, in that case, we're going to get to shout outs.
Shout outs. I read so many chapters a day from people on Discord, like friends. They send me first chapters and we like work on stuff. Mm. So I don't want to shout out anyone specifically because I have so many friends and I don't know who I'm going to like actually shout out. Like, I almost feel bad. Like,
oh God, I mean,
I want to.
I really shouldn't. Like, this is a very, very common scenario in literature, by the way. A German man forcing you to choose between people you love. Sorry.
Oh my God.
I had to go there. I'm very sorry.
Oh my God.
No, you just choose two or three, not more.
No, so I do have some friends though that I think I don't know. No, I'm not gonna do it. I have so many close friends, and I'm like, no. Well, I think it's good.
Can you shout out any smaller stories then that maybe aren't your friends yet?
Yeah, I'm on like this trad reader kick where I'm just like binge reading stuff. And so I haven't really read anything that isn't on Royal Road. I mean, the only thing on Royal Road that I finished to completion was Perfect Run. So I don't want to just like endorse people that are, you know, I've read plenty of stories from lower authors.
Well,
don't put me on the spot here.
No, yeah. Look, I sent you the questions before.
Oh, this is all I know.
Your fault.
This is all my fault. This is absolutely my fault. Yeah. I just I agonized over it for like 4 hours straight. Like, who am I going to choose? And I don't know.
Well,
I'm just
yeah.
Maybe I'll send it to you so you can. Maybe I'll just send you some names that you could put into the, like the podcast like description. Like, here, check out these books; they're awesome.
And then, I don't know, like make an AI clone of your voice and make him say it. I will not do that.
No. Definitely not.
I mean, like, I have a shout out. I'm thoroughly enjoying. I'm getting too old for this quest. This is really good.
What? Oh, I will shout out that has a cover that has it tells a story.
Yeah, the cover is amazing. Like, it's
the cover is extraordinary.
Yeah. I think I have to mention this. Like, just out of fairness, I know the author.
Nice.
I will not say who it is. On the off chance anyone knows him, but yeah. The cover is amazing, and I've seen that grow. And yeah, it's really, really good. Like,
yeah.
Do you want to describe it?
Oh, the cover?
Yep.
Yeah, so the cover, I mean, like, take off the title and just, like, visualize a cover where there is an old man sitting in front of some tomatoes and a campfire. And there's a big-ass sword. Like, this is just the biggest, like, it is the most ridiculous. Like, it is large enough to cut through his small hut.
Yeah, it's bigger than the house. I mean? Yeah.
It is bigger than the house, and it just has this huge thing, and it just tells the story of this adventurer who was a god and now just wants to grow tomatoes and enjoy old age. And then you read the title, and it's like, I'm too old for this quest or whatever it is. Yeah, and I'm just like, that is perfect. Like, I want to make a cover that perfect at some point in my life. So shout out to the coolest cover I have ever seen in my life.
Well, there you go. There you have it, folks. Coolest cover. Obviously, you haven't seen the Torchbearer cover yet, so that's okay. I'm kidding.
Show it to me later.
I'm sure to show it to you later. Yeah. Like people who have listened to this podcast have seen this cover before. So that's it. Speaking of having listened to this podcast before, this is going to be the end of the main podcast. Do you have any last words?
Just enjoy writing and actually.
And reading.
Do whatever. Yeah. Well, yeah. Read a lot. You have to read a lot and write a lot. But do whatever you like and just write 1.5 million words of suffering until I am writing whatever I want to write down, and that feels good. So you can get there.
Yeah. I'm going to get started today. I think I'm going to start writing the sentence, "All work and no play makes Johnny a dull boy." I'm going to repeat it a few times. See how it goes. Yeah. Yeah. You kind of, probably you want him like write to improve. But I think if you just put out words so much, you will. That's very true.
Cool. And want it, yeah.
Yeah, you want to, yeah. You must want to. Also, like, if you're a listener and a regular Railroad reader, also, yes, the show is also for you. I love having you here.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, obviously. We're going to keep talking in the Patreon content that you can get on Patreon. So click on my Patreon and please do my Patreon. It would help me out a lot. It would allow me to actually get an editor and then pay that editor money so that I can write more, because I'm going to start a new job soon, unfortunately. And that means I will not have the time. And that means I will have to decide if I cannot get an editor. So please join my Patreon. That being said, always the podcast will always keep going. I just have to see how if I can continue the 4 times a month schedule. But probably I'll probably write less, which is also going to be painful. So please don't make me choose. Join my Patreon. And also click like and subscribe. If you subscribe on Patreon, not Patreon. If you subscribe to YouTube, that helps me out a lot because my video gets seen more. And, also I will get a small commission out of the ads that are going to be shown. And that also helps me to keep going. So if you want to listen to more authors, if you want to learn more about how they write their books and what books they read, go ahead. Give it a follow and a like. Okay, cool. The rest of the stuff will go on Patreon. Neon Dreams, thank you so much for being here.
Yes. Thank you. I have enjoyed it.
Yes, it was really good. And with that, thank you so much for listening and watching, and I'll see you next time.